Scorpions Avenue.
Good to go, Lady Bunny. How are you?
Hello, my dearest Monet. How I've longed for you.
Oh, you've longed for me in a what kind of longing way?
Why, your way? Sparkling wit to which
way?
The entire world has been privy.
Ebony, I know listeners don't know is that so we had a little production meeting earlier today because we have some fun stuff coming up next week. And one of our producer, Jay, was there. And also our other producer, who is the owner of Starburns Audio Land, was there. But there were two foreign entities, people we have never met before, Bunny or myself. And we go into the meeting, and Bunny immediately starts off cum joke.
Well, first they complimented you on your Zoom backdrop.
Okay, it's not a Zoom backdrop, bitch. It's my real backdrop. I have a wall full of shoes, and they are color-coded. I have a shoe obsession. I have maybe upwards of 50-plus shoes, and they're all color-coordinated in every color.
Wow, with the 50-plus shoes? I mean, with the size of your foot, you must live in a loft.
A loft? You mean a mansion? I think that's where the joke was supposed to go. You're too high to fucking
fit
the joke, bitch.
Well, no, actually, they said they liked your Zoom backdrop. And I said, is no one even going to notice that I wipe the cum off the wall? And see, for me, this was a big, wiping the cum off was a big step forward from not taking the cum into my ass. Okay. I'm sorry. I really must be more inclusive of my mouth. Forgive me. The cum also goes in there.
Mm-hmm. Bunny, have you ever gotten cum in your eye? Isn't it the worst thing in the world, bitch?
I said, Daddy, will you tuck me in tomorrow night too?
Oh my God. Cum in your eye is literally like someone took a fucking cigarette and put it out on your fucking eyeball. It's the worst. Bitch, you are legally blind for about 20 minutes.
I'm legally blind now. I'm just always happy that A, someone is there, and that B, they were able to come looking at me. I mean, some of them don't look. That is true. Some do not look.
Yeah, and just looking at you doing this podcast, I am now suffering from erectile dysfunction.
They put the paper bag over their own head, okay?
Okay, so I do read the comments about Ebony and Irony, and people are saying, we love the guests, but all of them seem to be older. They're like, can we please get some guests who are a little younger and with it and like more like hip and stuff? And so this week, we have one of my very, very, very good Judies from New York City. We worked a lot in New York City together. We worked at The Help for 2.5 years. And before that, we worked a lot together on corporate gigs, private gigs, all the things. And she is visiting me in LA. So we're going to have the lovely, professional and talented Pixie Aventura as our guest on
Ebony.
Oh
no, why didn't you ask me? I hate her. I mean, if I should can even say her. I mean,
why?
Well, because of course, because I don't know what her pronouns are.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, you just saved yourself, bitch, because the fucking pronoun community was
We're going to go into that later with Bethany Frankel and her pronoun, transphobic, whatever you want to say, comments. We'll get it. Well, that's our main topic later.
Uh-huh. But you know what? Let's get with the guests.
Boom.
Hi, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that we're talking about how I'm the guest that was planned, and not that I was just in your apartment.
Well, wow.
So you can everyone can see that Pixie is a bitch, right? Pixie Aventura, notable New York City bitch who occasionally can still put a dance number together.
Yeah, you're very right. You know what? You are what you are.
Wait, Pixie, make sure you speak into the microphone. You sound a little far away.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought it was a good mic. Okay, so.
Well, you can bring it a little close to your face. I know you're not used to having big black things near your mouth, but try really
hard. They go straight to her ass.
Mm-hmm. No. I'm so glad that you think that happens. But no, you're right. I'm not used to anything big by my mouth.
Except for food,
yes. Now, listen, you know that too, lady.
I certainly do. No, you're in LA visiting?
I am. I'm on vacation. You know that's
on vacation?
No, vacation.
And do you like LA as a vacation spot?
Well, here's the thing. When I like to travel, I really like to go outside of America. Actually,
hello.
We vacation a lot together, Pixie and I.
We have, yeah. And I feel like still the world is in a weird place. So I was just like, let me just get away from New York City. And I have many friends in LA. So I figured that this would be a great place to get out, but still feel like I can do stuff.
And then you wound up on this podcast.
Lucky you.
And the trip the trip went south. Now you're from Miami, right?
I am originally from Miami, but I had to come all the way to LA to actually talk to you, bunny. Isn't that great?
That is crazy. Are you a Cuban American from Miami?
I am Cuban, Italian, and Nicaraguan.
Okay.
Ooh. Wait, I didn't know about the Nicaraguan part. I said,
Yeah, that's my mom.
Oh, your mom is Nicaraguan.
Yeah.
I thought your mom was Cuban as well.
No.
Got it. Have you ever been to Nicaragua?
I have. It was in 1995.
Not like as an adult, so we could like go to the parties and like get like the dicks and like do the things.
Well, it's not a really good place right now. There's a lot of like
political unrest.
Yeah, a lot of unrest and a lot of crazy stuff going on. And with the pandemic, it's not doing that well either.
I'm sure America has a hand in destabilizing.
I was literally just about to say that, but I'm sure America, there is some way America got their fucking slimy paws involved in Nicaragua's problems.
Oh, absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
So, Pixie, so what for our listeners who may not know who you are, Pixie Aventura is a New York City drag queen, probably one of, in my opinion, and again, I haven't been in the scene for like a good 3-4 years at this point. But Pixie, when I was a part of the scene, Pixie Aventura was one of, if not the top working queen in the city, doing not just her weekly shows, but doing other like really big campaigns. This summer, you did some stuff with Pepsi. Well, Pepsi, like brag a little bit, let the listeners know who the fuck Pixie Aventura is, just in case they don't.
I just want to know if Lady Bunny feels the same way.
Pixie. Okay, let me quit playing. Pixie Aventura is sexy, hot, an incredible dancer. When she gets going with that salsa and her partner, you see all that Cuban and that Nicaraguan and all of it coming out.
What you just call her? Excuse me, Lady Bunny, what did you just say?
Well, she said that her mother was Nicaraguan, and I said that my
name. I heard Nicaraguan. I said, excuse me.
Well, no, I said, Pixie's mother, Pixie said her mother was Nicaraguan. Monet said her mother was.
Ooh, honey.
I say nothing.
You thought this was a good idea. Here we go.
I say nothing. You've already accused me of it. Now, okay, so now Now, I met Pixie. I mean, I met her on the scene and, you know, whatnot, running around in the clubs. And then she came and performed a dazzling number at Wigstock when we brought it back to the Piers. And you had a friend there who I believe is a Broadway dancer dancing with you. Yes. Can I get his number?
Absolutely. You know what? And I'm actually very appreciative, and it meant a lot to me that you asked me to do it and to actually be the opening drag act. It was great, and I thank you for it.
Well, I wish you'd been in that movie more. I wish you'd been bigger.
I mean, I was there for 2 seconds.
Well, I know.
But at least my video went viral. My video
did it really?
It did.
Like on yours that you took put on YouTube?
Yeah, I had many people videotaping me.
Tell us what that is, because, honey, all these people are on phones. They can look it up.
I mean, yeah, it's Pixie Aventura Wigstock 2.0. It comes up automatically on YouTube, okay. I believe.
And that's Aventura, Aventura, because Pixie's trying to get all fancy and Latino with her pronunciation, saying Aventura. That sounds like Aventura.
Well, actually, Aventura. No, if you want me to pronounce it correctly, it's Aventura, but, you know, I'm speaking to a white person, so I have to say Aventura.
I'm just trying to get whatever my color is. I'm just trying to get hits on your damn video.
Don't worry, we got Ebony and Irony and Caramel today.
Ebony and Caramel. Buddy, bitch, how many edibles did you take today? Because you are flying high.
I only Birds took flying one. High.
You know how she
She's
feels.
She's like the seal at SeaWorld right now. I'm living.
<You're clapping. laughs> So, Pixie, so how many years have you been doing drag?
I've been doing drag since 2006, so it's about 15 years.
Wait, 15 years?
Yeah, I started in college. I didn't go full time drag until I was in the city around 2014, which means I left my survival job and I was just doing drag.
What was your survival job?
I was working at Scott J. Aveda Salon as the makeup specialist.
And now, no shade, you're beautiful now, but I saw them old Pixie pictures, and advising people to do makeup.
Oh, I know. Well, at that point, I knew what I was doing, but early drag pictures, I completely agree with you. And, you know, but we all lived our fantasy. We didn't have YouTube tutorials to learn how to do drag. It was trial and error.
You're right. Bunny, did you ever have a survival job? Because in my mind, you were born just as I see you now. And
she's
you've been
still surviving.
I know, honey. I worked at Popeyes in Atlanta.
Did you really?
I worked at
that chicken from Popeyes.
I worked at Wendy's in Chattanooga. I was worked at an ice cream store and a publishing company when I first moved to New York. I worked at a movie theater in Atlanta. I did all of it. All.
Do you still get coupons from Popeyes?
Well, I do, but you would never know it to look at me.
Oh.
So, Pixie, your first number performing in drag was what? Give us What was the song?
Set the scene.
It was in college, and I was part of one of the founding divas of the drag show at Otterbein University, which is still happening today. It's outside of Columbus, Ohio. And my first number, obviously, we're in a theater setting, musical theater setting, so I had to choose. I didn't have to, but I felt like I should choose something Latin, which I only have 2 options at that time. Now we have 3. But I did Mimi from Rent Out Tonight. That was my first number ever.
Wait, that sounds awful. Mimi, I'm first was in Rent? Ooh. Ooh, Low Rent. Honey, Low Rent. I thought Valentina was bad enough.
Oh, girl.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Valentina, she posted something on Instagram recently. It's like her first performance in like 2 years of her at Evita. And in true Valentina fashion, the picture is just so grand and so grandiose. Mm-hmm. And I personally love Valentina. I think she's hysterical. She's a hoot.
I do too. But we don't want to bring up other Latino queens if that's all we can think about when we're talking to Pixie, because that would almost
be... There's only 5 of us, so...
So what was the first... you did the Mimi?
Out Tonight from Rent, the Mimi Marquez song.
Oh, yeah. My God!
Hedwig and just... I did the original recording, not the movie.
Oh, of course. No, the movie recording is the good one.
Well, no, you gotta give an acting moment. So you gotta do a little Daphne Rubin Vega. At the time.
Yeah. Which also, when the movie version of Rent came out, I was like, Rosario Dawson can sing? I was like, this is good.
It's auto-tune. No, it was good, but yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So Out Tonight was your first drag performance, and this was in, so this would have been 2006.
This was, yeah, at the end of 2005, 2006. I can't remember exactly.
And then fast forward, go ahead, Bun.
But no, you've always had a little bit of blend of Broadway and club music or Latin, mm-hmm. stuff like that, right? That's what I gather from your incredible stage presence. I will say that we fuck around a lot, but I do admire Pixie and her talent.
Yes.
I really appreciate
her personality. Is garbage. The personality is garbage.
But I do really appreciate that, Bunny. I do respect you a lot. So the fact that you say that, it means a lot, even though you're rotten, but whatever. I agree with you. I try to have a lot of diversity in my performance. And I guess that just comes from being pigeonholed from my boy performance experience, where I was just like, well, you're just Latin and you're a dancer. So I just try to show variety, because yes, I can do the Latin very well, but I can just do the white shit very well too.
Well, club music or hip hop, is that something that you gravitate towards?
Absolutely. I think it's intertwined with Latin music to begin with. You know, it sounds different, but the beats are there. It's very grounded. It's what I grew up with. So it comes very natural to me as well.
And thank you for explaining rhythm to the white person.
El ritmo. Bunny, es el ritmo. El ritmo.
Oh, es el ritmo.
Okay. Yeah. Roll your R.
El ritmo.
Oh, ay, that Señorita was a nice Bunny.
R rolled R, honey.
Señorita Bunny.
She be rolling that song in a booty, but, girl.
Now, when I went on tour with Valentina, I would come up to her and say, like I was playing with my nipples, getting excited when she was doing her makeup, and say, me gusta mucho. And she would always say that was like an old indigenous Spanish woman.
She absolutely loved it. Especially with your teeth out of your mouth.
Me gusta mucho. Yeah.
I'm very curious of this because I have my own observations from, you know, looking online and peeking into the New York City nightlife scene through my Facebook app. How have you seen the drag landscape change in New York City over the past couple of years? Because I know for me, when, like, as I got on Drag Race and I started to not be in the city as much, I noticed, in my opinion, a lot of entitlement from queens who were younger, mm-hmm. who had not been doing it as much. And it was really bothersome to me. And I was like, thank God I can not deal with it, because I would be enraged by some of the messages I would get in DMs. And be like, well, my booking fee is this. I'm like, bitch, I don't even know who the fuck you are. And you've never done a guest number. Who the fuck are you? So how have you seen a change?
I would say there's different takes to it, because I've been holding down the fort based on the current queens. I've been holding down the fort because obviously I have not been on the race. But the thing is with the race is like it's taken away a lot of the local queens year after year. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is that these popular shows have now had to been filled by queens that were available that may or may not have been doing drag for that long. And I think that's where that entitlement was. It's just that, well, I got this show quickly because I'm this good. And I'm like, yeah, you're good, but you didn't get this show because of that. It just had to be filled. And this show was already popular. So you were able to carry the torch, but you did not build it from scratch. Even with you, Monet, there was I remember coming to see you and Miss Cracker at Hardware, and there were sometimes like there was five people there.
Bitch, hello.
And you
one drunk fag smoking weed in the corner, fucking Lady Bunny just drunk in the corner watching the show asleep.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God, wait. You, Monet Exchange, and Miss Cracker with an audience of five people, that is shocking that there were that many.
But no, anyway, Vix,
right. So there would be so she's talking about turn it on Sundays at Hardware. Crack and I was the night Delilah Brooks and Kelly King used to do it, and after Delilah left and Kelly King left, I know they had a different show, but it was this so they had the same slot as me and Crack, as Cracker had before us on Sunday nights, and then they left, and then we took it over, and like Pix was saying, there was no one there. Go ahead, Pixar.
Yeah, you guys created that show and it became a popular night. And
oh, really? I never heard of it. I never heard of it.
I hate you. But, you know, it happens every year. We have newer queens that are just like, are able to fill the slot. And yes, they look good, but they really don't have that much experience. And I will say that the queens that I've worked with that are newer are definitely more humble, and they're willing to put in the work, but there's a lot of people that just all of a sudden just expect to be booked. Even my favorite thing is when they send you a message to get booked, but they don't come and see your show or support it, which has always been an issue. But I feel like now more than ever, it's like, well, I have this many followers.
And
or like this celebrity came to see me. I'm like, no, honey, that celebrity came to the bar. They didn't know who you were until then. Let's be real.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that young performers are perhaps, as you suggest, not paying your dues? I mean, because I'm from a generation before reality TV, because they've seen the Paris Hiltons rise to the top of the ranks. Right. They've seen the Tan Moms. They've seen the William Hung. They've seen, you know, bullshit that everyone is talking about and that gets hit shows. I mean, you know, Snooki. I mean, I'm not saying she isn't cute, but is this really going to rise to the top of your entertainment level? I mean, we're going to discuss Bethany Frankel. I mean, I've never seen. I mean, this is such an unappealing, person to me. Well, yes, she is a millionaire.
I think the test is really on who is actually business savvy when they get the opportunity. And, you know, we can see from the people that have been on Drag Race who actually has that background, who actually has the experience of actually doing a show and continuing their careers and actually making something out of the opportunity. So, yes, you can be followed by millions of people on TikTok, but nobody's going to come and see a show for 15 seconds. You, especially in New York, you need to fill an hour and a half, 2 hours. And that only comes from actually putting in the work. So it's really hard for me to like watch these shows sometimes because it's a very repetitive recipe that they do.
On Drag Race.
Just like, well, this is out watching drag shows now. It's just like, of course you look beautiful, but why are you doing a number? Why are you doing it? Like, there's just no... Yeah.
So is it a question of they just want to be famous for nothing? So. Is that what like a reality star?
And that's a trend. Like, because people have seen that work, right? People who just get famous. Yeah. I mean, one of the most influential people, arguably one of the most influential people in the world right now is Kim Kardashian, and she's someone who got famous for doing nothing. But again, and I don't mean, when I say nothing, I'm not trivializing what she does, because I honestly, my opinion is that Kim Kardashian is a very fucking smart businesswoman who learned how to monetize and capitalize on herself, which I think it's very impressive. But she doesn't have like a tangible talent. She's not a singer. She's not a dancer. She's not she's not an actress. Like, so, you know, she just got famous off of being her, doing
nothing. You can't deny her business acumen, but when you say she learned to make money off of herself, she did, of course, a lot of money, but why do you want people to become extra famous if they're not known for a talent, what are they known for? Their plastic surgery? Their
because
clothing?
I think because you know I mean because I think that Kim Kardashian, what she has done so well is she has sold herself. Like what the thing that that people want to. From Kim Kardashian, they just want her. They want the being that is her. So she has found a way to market herself and her persona and just who she is as a human being, which I think is something very hard to do. Something that a lot of people try to do and they can't.
Right, and she was actually one of the very first to do so. You know,
for sure.
Another one was Paris Hilton. It's just they were very smart, and that's what I was talking about earlier. It's like when you get the opportunity, who actually stays in the game, and it's because of their business savvy. And for a lot of these kids now,
rather than talented.
Well,
I mean, you know, if I look back at moments, there's many moments that I could point to in Cher, Diana Ross, Joan Rivers, Patti LaBelle's career. These people, they were promoted by others, and obviously mm-hmm. they're promoting themselves too, but this is before social media. They were promoted mm-hmm. by others who were the agents, the gatekeepers, the casting mm-hmm. agents, the tour mm-hmm. managers, the this and the that. But they did that because they had something. So this is why everything seems empty to me now because, oh, Monet, you're right, 100%. What a gift that Kim and or her handlers made from, you know, marketing herself. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but they say that her mom got her to, have sex and possibly even recorded it. I don't know if that's true. And it was with a black guy, which kind of became her shtick. And then she's running around with big, you know, silicone mm-hmm. ass. And it seems like the worship of the emptiest thing that there is, even though I understand that Kim is smart, and I have met Kim briefly, and she was sweet.
Did you really? Why
yes.
did you meet Kim?
Before she was famous, backstage at a fashion show. In
really?
New York. Oh, yes.
The hell were you doing at a fashion show?
Right. What the hell did you do?
I was kind of... decades... Oh, that's funny, is it? No, decades before Lizzo, I was demanding plus-size fashions from the top designers.
Okay. Got it. So
gotcha.
just get a fucking... some cattle to model your fucking clothes, bitch.
Oh, gang up on white person. Okay. Yeah, got it. Okay. Uh-huh. Get whitey. Yep. Okay. That's what we're going to call this episode. Yep. You know, so what I'm trying to say about Kim and all this is that, you know, Pixie is saying that there are drag queens that don't have the talent, that don't pay their dues. I mean, Kim obviously didn't pay her dues. That's the connection I'm trying to draw.
How did she not pay her dues, though?
She did not pay her dues in terms of learning a craft, which is what I think.
But you don't have to learn a craft.
Okay, but you don't have to now. I'm saying in my day you did. And even Pixie is saying, and you're saying that some of the young girls are entitled. They demand an outrageous booking fee and they've never even performed anywhere or done a guest spot. So are they suffering from wannabe Kim Kardashian? So because if I wanted to get a booking, mm-hmm. I did what? I came up with something that was good or, you know, good enough. So where somebody
I think
would
in
book
a way,
get Pixie
I think
going,
in
I'll
a way,
go
yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I think in a way it is. But also, you know, for the first time, especially within our community, this is possible. It's never been accessible for us in the way that it might have been accessible for straight people. This is the first time that within our community, the drag community, that people are actually starting to see us, and it's only possible because of social media. So I understand that aspect
no,
of it.
No, baby, like, they're not starting to see us. Julian Elton was a Broadway star at the turn of the century, and he had his own theater and his own line of cold cream starring in sold-out musicals. They're not starting to see us. There was a whole drag boom in the 90s with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, RuPaul, Supermodel. I mean,
well,
Wicksuck,
For a regular person that probably had no access to moving to Hollywood or moving to New York, someone now can from their phone have accessibility to be seen is what I'm getting. It's getting down to the common person.
Yeah. So and, TV and to, watchers.
To go back to your point about paying your dues. My point is these girls who are DMing Pixie or used to DM me back and they had to do my show. Kim Kardashian is not messaging Mary J. Blige. I'm like, hey, I want to come and sing at your show, and I have a million followers. No, Kim Kardashian is doing what Kim Kardashian does. So I'm gonna put on a sexy outfit. I'm gonna pose, and that's my thing. If you are the Instagram girl who just wants to be famous for doing nothing, then do that. Then you build up your followers and you email fucking Uggs and be like, hey, send me shoes. I have a million followers. I'll pose for a picture, and that be your thing. But so my point is that Kim Kardashian doesn't have to pay dues because she's doing something in her own lane. She's not reaching out and asking fucking Alvin Ailey to go be in their show. She's not calling the Met and being like, can I come sing an aria? She's posting pictures and being pretty and doing what her thing is. So if you are one of those Instagram girls, do that. But don't DM me to come and perform because, bitch, you can't do that.
Okay, but if you just want to be famous and you don't have a talent, like the drag queens Pixie is complaining about, the ones whose fees you're complaining about,
ask this question.
I mean, you know, if they're somewhat lacking, I see this as Kim Kardashian, territory. You know, I don't begrudge her if people want to pay her to, get silicone and wear slutty outfits and do sex film, but she's not promoting a talent, and like I said, there's no major moments that I would ever see like I would see with anyone from Jennifer Lewis to fucking Jennifer Holiday.
Because we can't put a name on it doesn't mean it's not a talent.
We have to agree to disagree.
I think that what Kim Kardashian doing, it is something talent. It's something that a lot of people try to do and they can't do it. It's something that is signature to her, as they say, quote unquote, the local girls. But you travel a lot for work, different states and et cetera. How did you transition from doing just local stuff into getting your brand out there to Pepsi? Bubbly, all the things
you've
done.
Actually, I was talking to you about this before this. I put it into the universe that I wanted to travel more for drag 2 years prior to COVID. And I was doing it more and more. And all it was is just like putting a hand out. And it actually wasn't for the money. I was like, as long as I make it even of like paying to go there and then getting paid. Like for me, it was just more about exposure than it was about like, oh, I need to get paid. Because at the end of the day, I might be known in New York, but I go to another city and they may have heard about me, but they don't know me in general. So that was my goal, just to put my name out there more and not necessarily make profit from traveling, but at least breaking even. But with doing so much in New York and being in during the pandemic, I was just one of the ones that was able to stay and continue working. And with that, I got contacts with Bubbly, which then led for me to do a brunch thing for Pepsi on Zoom, which then led to the campaign with Pepsi that just went out, that was all over New York City, posted on all types of buses, cabs, subways, and even the Madison Square Garden.
Back rooms.
Yeah. Backrooms.
I believe there's been a on the close-up shot poster, there have been a up the numbers of car wrecks are up.
Yes,
on the corners near where your posters are.
Yeah, they couldn't believe that Rosario made it.
Let me say that you're wise, Pixie, because yes, you do need to go out and travel when you're wanting to be more established, just like fucking Oscar actresses go and kiss ass at those ceremonies, everyone on every level of the entertainment industry. Just like you said, she'll want to, she's never been to one of your shows, but she'll want to come get booked at your shows. You know, it's like you kiss ass in this business and you never, ever stop.
But you know what? That's not a new thing. Like old school queens, even you, like you guys did it before Drag Race was a thing. You would travel to other cities and that's how you would get the word out. And those are lessons that I learned from ancient people like yourself. So I'm...
Oh, God. I just love seeing girls who... Like myself, like Pixie, like girls who have worked really hard and seeing the fruits of that. And Then you see girls back in the city who don't work as hard. And sometimes you see those girls get elevated and you're like, this bitch is literally doing the same thing every week and she's not even trying and she's doing this thing. But, you know, that would, those are just old feelings I used to have back in the scene when I was still in New York. And it would always be very unsettling for me.
And so do you mean elevated like that? Do you mean like to Drag Race?
No, not to Drag Race. Just no. Girls who would get like big out, like who would get to headline shows or get these big shows out in Fire Island or the Hamptons or whatever. And every week after week, they do nothing to advance their drag or to be fierce. And they're just so content in doing the bare minimum and getting rewarded for it. That used to bug me a lot when I was back in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I definitely get that.
So when will all of your 15 years experience and all of this work translate into better performances, Pixie?
Yeah, you know, I've been questioning my life since you actually just mentioned it. So,
oh, that's great. Are we thinking of ending it, perhaps? I mean, I don't want to put
close
thoughts into your head, but I mean, you do
it's
things all the way,
close.
Pixie. That's what I love about you. You don't half-stepping with Trixie Aventura.
Trixie Aventura.
I don't know who Trixie is, but
she's famous. No, just listen. So you said before COVID you were traveling as a New York City, also working in the clubs and whatnot, the DJ of the month or whatever. So what's your general take? Are you seeing, are you nervous to go to work? Or what precautions do you use? Are you satisfied with what you're seeing at clubs? Are you seeing big crowds? Because at the Monster, it's full. I wear a mask. Sometimes they laugh at me, you know, but honey, that's an old disco lovers or an older crowd, honey. I don't want to kill my fans. So, and I'm always getting on an airplane. So if I have something, I don't want to come to my mask and blah, 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 blah. But are places advertising what now that you have to be vaccinated to get in New York? Is that correct?
Absolutely. Those are a lot of questions. So, yes, I am double vaccinated and I've been for a while. And at first, definitely it was very scary, but I've been very fortunate that I've been working in person since 4th of July of 2020. And that's because I was able to perform outside in Fire Island. At first, it definitely was scary, but I feel like with more and more research with the vaccine, I feel more confident. And at some point we just need to like start getting back to work and getting back to regular life. And I don't really have the fears that I did in the beginning. I am still very cautious. I wash my hands after I count my tips. I do as much as I can. I wear the masks anywhere that I go in public. The audiences.
So, you wear the masks to your gig? You wear the masks to gigs?
I wear the masks to the gigs, but a vaccination is required within the bars for everybody. So,
yes.
I don't perform with a mask on stage.
Yeah.
Pixie came here and she was gagged that the bars here in LA, the only one that I've noticed that asks is the Abbey. Everywhere else is like, welcome. So it was a little bit of a little shell shock.
Well, they've been through such
hard.
Go ahead.
In New York, everywhere you go, even if you're dining in the outside seating, they still ask you for the vaccine. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, when I was touring this summer and we were going to hotels, they would all have a sign, must have masks, and, you know, they weren't enforcing that because they hadn't seen any business in a year, like the clubs. So they're not, you know, when they had that outbreak in Provincetown, that's one of the things that I learned is that one person who was there and got COVID as a breakthrough infection while vaccinated said that the only place that was asking for proof of vaccination was the boat slip, which is outdoors. So that's where you need it the least, But Pixie, let me ask you this. So the cases are rising and people are nervous about schools and people are also about kids going back to school and they don't have a vaccine for the kids yet. You know, all this stuff. Do you see that, you know, they're also talking about a third wave or surge, and they say that that can come in the winter. Do you are you dreading that? You said you're being, you know, cautious, but what is your general sense of how things are going? I mean, I sense that they're better. I'm working now, and I wasn't a year ago, but I'm also, are the headlines too much? I don't know. I mean, do you worry about breakthrough infections?
Absolutely. I don't want to get to a position again where everything is shut down. But within the community, within nightlife, within work, I'm not seeing much of what is being reported. Like, I don't see many people getting sick unless, you know, they're still going out and they don't give a shit. But,
a lot less people got sick when Monet moved.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was less contact.
Honestly, in the pandemic, like, I was desperate, so I just started doing the COVID test in my ass, and you know, I don't regret it. It's what I did for my money, and it is what it is.
It was a revolving door. So
talk about losing your sense of taste and smell,
bitch, mm-hmm. and sight.
Mm-hmm. No, but yeah, I think as of now, I don't personally see what is being reported, but I don't know. It's a tricky line of like, when are we going to get back? And I think with Broadway opening up, that's going to be the real test. Oh, yeah, because Broadway. Now we're having a lot of tourists now that are going to start coming in.
That's true. And Broadway's
all those people
open
from
now.
Fucking Chattanooga, Tennessee, that don't know how to fucking mm-hmm. act. They're going to be coming up mm-hmm. to New York City.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I'm from Chattanooga. And
very
I can act and sing. No. So, I mean, like, one of the things that is happening, I'll tell you, I follow this shit too much, Pixie. Monet, you know this. So
You always follow shit a lot.
The nurses, that's why I always get introduced after Monet.
Racist.
So last night, the nurses in New York had to get vaccinated, and not all of them would. So maybe, you know, I don't know, 1,000 or 900. Some did get vaccinated when this vaccine, you know, mandate was imposed. But, you know, of course, some people, and I probably say these are Republican people who were pointing out hypocrisy, were saying, oh, well, you clap for the nurses, you know, and the essential workers. And now if they don't get vaccinated, they're fired. You know, I mean, it is puzzling to why people who were, I mean, my mother's a nurse, so I was puzzled as, and she made me get my flu vaccine last week. So, you know, I'm come from a background with it. But do you see? Do you sense any of that? I mean, are we on that? Do you feel nervous?
About what?
Yeah, this is why.
Go ahead.
No, go on.
Well, I'm just like about getting back to normal, about the reports that this is normal now.
Listen, I think that we had to live in it. And it's when it gets back to normal, it will be normal. I think if we all keep on trying to hypothesize about it's going to happen on this day, we're just all going to be perpetually disappointed and upset that it hasn't happened yet. This is our current experience. This is all of our lived reality right now. And when it's better, it'll be better. But for these times, it's like you celebrate the weekend fucking being in clubs and in bars performing. Because I remember in fucking from March through at least September 2020. Oh, Colleen is jumping on Pixie. March through September 2020, we were all like, when the fuck will we be able to go inside? We were all sitting outside fucking through the winter, having pasta in the freezing cold outside. I was like, when can we go inside? And now we got inside and all things are some semblance of normalcy. And I'm just living in the present. Colleen, get down. Like she can hear me.
I was out for a second. Yeah, I mean, of course, that's all true, Monet, but I asked Pixie.
Well, I think this is why I chose to, you know, if I wanted to go on vacation, I decided to come to LA where I know people, but I didn't want to go outside of the country. I just, you know, everything is back to normal for us, but in general, I don't think, can you please get off me? Jesus Christ.
She hates pussy.
Yeah, girl.
She hates pussy.
My niece, Colleen, Colleen the cat, Monet's daughter, is just all over me. Calm down. but which is why I didn't go to Florida, you know, and I was not able to see my grandma before she passed because I made a choice that I was not going to put her at risk to, you know, possibly pass it on because I had been sick and I was coming from New York, but then Florida got crazy. So I was just like, I'm not going to risk that at all.
What, did you get sick with COVID and get over it?
I did. I did. I got twice.
How long did it take to get over it? How long?
The first time it was 3 weeks, and then it was March 12 when I started feeling the symptoms of 2020. It literally, I was like patient zero, one of them.
Gag.
And for 3 weeks, I was feeling like utter shit, like the worst I've ever felt. And then it was trying to get my stamina back. And then the second time it was like a mild cold. I was still able to work out at home. Like it was not a thing.
Well, Buddy hasn't had her stamina for decades.
What was
now,
the second time?
Say it again.
Was the second time that you got COVID after the vaccine or before?
No, it was right before the vaccine. It was in February of 2021.
Well, so presumably, I don't know, did your doctor mention anything like this? If having it the first time gave you antibodies, that's actually a good protection against it. So, you know, I mean, they say that's a very, I mean, to tell you the truth, and I'm fully vaccinated and we'll get the damn booster, but that would actually make me, if I caught COVID and got the antibodies, they say they don't know how long it lasts, but that's the strongest protection against COVID. So I would actually go out and suck a dick for the first time in 2 years.
That's not how you get it. Cause remember glory holes were safe.
Yeah. Glory holes were deemed safe. You can suck a dick and not get COVID. It's
making
saliva.
Out.
Making
it's
out that making gets out. You. And you don't have to worry about anybody trying to kiss your ass. So you can suck all the dicks you want to, baby.
Oh, but if I hide my face, how will they get hard?
Oh, trust me, they'll get hard with put a paper bag.
Yeah, girl. Listen, I have been to enough orgies and bathhouses to know that for dudes, a hole is a hole. They don't care what's attached to it. A hole is a motherfucking hole, bitch.
Mm-hmm. That is so cute that you use my mother's sayings.
Well, I think that we are almost out of time. We have been chatting with Pixie for this has been a really great conversation. I particularly loved the Kim K section because I just love Bunny being absolutely wrong.
Never.
Pixie, tell us where we can find you. Your handles are any big shows in the city coming up or around the country?
Yes, all of my handles are Pixie Aventura. Pixie like the fairy. Aventura like the South Florida Mall, and all of my shows are my schedule is located in the profile of my Instagram. I'm performing almost every night in the city, and as of now I might be flying to Berlin in December and Hawaii in February.
Work, bitch. Bunny, you could never
what in February?
Hawaii.
Oh, I could never what? Go to Berlin or Hawaii?
Yeah. Yeah.
Already been to both multiple times, love. So Pixie.
Ooh. Old man.
No. Don't you call Trixie an old man? Don't you dare call Brian an old man.
We're not kidding. Pixie Aventura really is one of the most sensational performers in New York City, around the country. She's very talented. She's very fierce. And you guys should most definitely check her out on the Insta, on the YouTube, and just get you a taste, honey, of the Cuban caliente Nicaraguan diva.
Sazón.
Tell me what you love about drag right now.
I love that drag has given me the voice to represent the Latin queer community, the platform to do so, and to show the excellence that we can also have.
Yes, well, bitch.
But you need to be more inclusive because my asshole has also given the Latino queer community a platform.
Those are Latino DL. That was not.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Well, I appreciate you both. I always pray that Lady Bunny dies, and
coming
that's
soon.
Why I don't think religion is real.
Yay! We love that. We love that.
Thank you, Pixie. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming, hanging out with me and my crazy old
self
friend. Work. Bunny, didn't you love having a more stimulating conversation with the younger variety of queens?
Because do you think that I'm averse to young people?
I think you are. You never want to have young guests. Every time I suggest a young guest, you're like, no, Monet, no, I don't want her. Always. This is the first time you wanted to have a younger guest on the podcast.
And whose idea was it?
Mine.
No, it was mine. It was mine, you cunt. Was,
yeah. Oh, I love when you speak to me so sweetly.
Yeah.
I feel like people are gonna. We had a very polarizing conversation about one of your favorite stars of the new millennia, Kim Kardashian.
And I think that your views and my views, respectively, whatever, reflect our respective generations' take on stardom.
I would definitely agree with that, Lady Bunny. You know, getting to spend this time with you every week truly, and I mean I mean it from the bottom of my heart, it truly is the low light of my week. And I No. I just love having this podcast with you, Bun. It's always so great and so lovely, and you're just so funny.
Oh, honey, and Pixie Aventura was fun too. She's right. That's the longest conversation that we've spoken, and you can find her at Pixie Pixie Aventura Aventura on Instagram. The girl is right. She's Tuesday at Hardware, Wednesday at Industry, Thursday at Playhouse, Friday at the Beachman Theater in New York City. So catch her; she's red hot.
Sundays at Barracuda.
Okay, Sundays at Barracuda.
Yeah. Which wait, Bunny, did you go to the Barracuda anniversary that happened? Did you ever work at Barracuda?
No.
You never worked at Barracuda?
Not too much. One time I DJed there, and it was 3:45, and they closed at 4, and a dyke came over to me and said, how am I supposed to get laid if you don't play any salsa? And I was like, looked at the clock, and I was like, who'd you say, Jay? Pixie's the dyke? No. I was like, baby, I don't think that the genre of music in an empty fag bar to get you laid at 3:45 has been invented. So if I had salsa's greatest hits, mama, you ain't gonna get none.
Oh my god, I can't. Well, you know what, listen, lesbians are my favorite human beings, so I would have delighted in her just to make her happy, because a happy lesbian equals a happy Monet.
A happy lesbian, no wonder you like those short wigs. A happy lesbian equals non-existent.
And now we get canceled by the lesbian community. I just love Ebony and Artie podcast. Thank you so much, buddy. Thank you. Y'all, this has been another episode of Ebony and Arnie. Please make sure you guys have been doing it. I very much appreciate it, because I notice each and every one. But please continue to rate us on Apple Podcasts, wherever you can get to it, by either on your phone or your computer or your iPad. And just give us a 5-star rating, girl. And if you give us a 4-star rating, bitch, I'm going to find you and I'm going to come and cut up your wigs. So a 5-star rating, and just leave a comment. You can just say, I just love Monet. Or you can say, Monet is so great. Monet could do this podcast by herself without the other one. Any comments like that you want to leave are more than welcome, and I am happy to read them.
Do what? You want to? You mean You mean people listen to this shit?
Should I read a comment or two? But I love reading some of the comments. You could get
is I that, do is that too, okay but you? you always skip the ones where they compliment me.
That is not true. They're just so hard to find. Okay, I'm gonna go in order. Love it. 5 stars. This is by Metsakutsu 91. Honestly, my favorite podcast. The chemistry between Monet and Bunny is off the charts. This is the second one. In order, the title is Thoughtful Discussion of Often Differing Opinions. And this is by The Kate C. 5 stars. Lady Bunny and Monet often have debate around hot topics and thoughtfully explain their differing views. Their interviews are great and bridge generational divides. Yeah, old people. They really bring the listener on a lovely journey each episode. Love this podcast. I'm going to read one more. The headline is, If it weren't for Lady Bunny. And this is by DYLC307. 5 stars. This show wouldn't exist. You happy, bitch? You happy? He said, if it wasn't for Lady Bunny, this show wouldn't exist, which I guess is just factual because she's half of the fucking podcast. So DYLC307, I know you're trying to be cute, but it's just, you just made a factual statement. So it's giving, doesn't make sense. But yeah. And they're
I think he said that you suck, and I hope he doesn't agree that your friend Pixie sucks, who's hanging around in your house. Talking about how she's traveling for work while sick with COVID. She's really kind of a mess. I mean, all the compliments I gave her, I was totally kidding, and she believed it. And now her mic's off, and she can't respond.
On that note, Lady Bunny, you have a good rest of your week. Or month, if you're listening to this in the year 2023, have a happy new year, and I'll see you when the year turns 2024.
A podcast network.